We're speaking with Idaho State Senator Jim Woodward, and we'll be talking about this year's session of the Idaho Legislature that's now adjourned. Jim, thank you for getting with us.
Thanks, Chris. I always appreciate the opportunity.
To start out, how do you think the legislative session went?
Well, I think that the legislative session overall went pretty well. We did what we always do, and that's balance a budget. And do I agree with every action we took in the budget? No, but we're still balancing a budget. We're still living within our means. And we had some contention over different pieces of legislation, but that's part of the process. Mm-hmm. So we got through that.
Mm-hmm. Well, reading the Idaho Capital Sun, which is a good source for us up here as they cover things going on in Boise, in its wrap-up report of the legislative session, it said, quote, it was contentious and divisive at times. What is your take on the factions within the legislature? Because I think from up here, we're observing that there are a couple of factions just within the Republican Party.
Yes, that is the case. That we essentially have a divided Republican Party right now, and really different thought processes. But what we worked on in the Senate, at least this year, and I just can't speak, I don't spend that much time down in the House and the building, but we did establish relationships between people. And so people who probably are operating in different camps, we still took the time and made the effort to recognize that we're all people. And so we came away with some new friendships, some surprising new friendships, and some different enjoyable times. And we're even trying to plan a summer event with some folks to get together, because when you realize the other person's not the enemy, but just another Idahoan, when you come down to tough decisions and people have different thought processes, you can try to keep the emotion out of it and overall do what's best for everyone here in Idaho.
Hmm. Yeah, basically just want to maintain respect for different points of view.
And that's exactly it. And so still know that person has kids or grandkids, and here are their hobbies. And when you realize that they're still a great person, mm-hmm. then it helps.
Well, the session adjourned April 4th, went 89 days, which was 2 weeks longer than the date they was targeted for adjournment, which I guess is just kind of aspirational when they set that at the start of the session. But in that time, there was a whopping 1,036 pieces of legislation that were prepared for consideration. And that's quite a bit more than it has been in previous years. The Capital Sun cited in 2023, there were 861, you know, so this is almost a couple hundred pieces more of legislation for the legislators to take up in one fashion or another. Raises the question for me, does that mean the legislature was more productive or less productive? Because you get too much stuff on the table, and I see how it could fritter time away.
It certainly does. We had, in particular, a couple of folks who brought a lot of pieces of legislation that seems like there are more good ideas than we ever realized, and good ideas in air quotes. Just those two folks who brought about 60 pieces each, 60 different bills, or drafted 60 different bills. If every legislator were doing that, we would have 6,000 pieces of legislation. And that's just unrealistic. So what we saw this year with all that legislation coming through, that we were having a hard time getting the budget bills from the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee, having a hard time getting those budget bills drafted and routed through the process. The Legislative Services Office provides all those services, and they were swamped. They were overtasked, overburdened. And so then we saw a proposal that we should add another attorney in that office. A handful of us said, no, that's not the right answer. The answer is we need to figure out how to control ourselves. And so we're working to try and come up with some kind of solution. Every representative and senator is elected by their constituency and has a right to come down and present bills, but there's going to have to be some kind of reckoning with just how many you can bring, because it was unreasonable this year from a few folks. And we'll battle with that and struggle with that. We'll figure out a way to do that.
Yeah, create some more efficiency.
We don't need to add more government and make the legislative session run longer. I've said over and over and over, what makes Idaho work still is, one, a balanced budget, and two, a citizen legislature where when we get done after about 3 months, we go home and live under the laws that we've helped craft and make a living in Idaho just like everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of the idea from the go, right?
Yes.
To start with the Constitution. Well, some of the larger bills, you already mentioned that, that you know, coming up with a balanced budget is one of the main tasks of the legislature each year. And some of the bigger bills that came out of the legislature this year were bills that essentially enacted tax cuts. So let's run through a few of those. And one was House Bill 40, which lowers the individual and corporate income tax about a half a percent or a little less than half a percent. The effect of that is going to reduce state revenue by $253 million. Tell us a little bit more about that bill and where you fell on it.
Well, that bill, $253 million, or call that a quarter of $1 billion. So we took out a fair amount of revenue from the state. Now, everybody loves a tax cut. That is wonderful. But our taxes are set as a percentage because that percent income tax and a percent sales tax, that gives, they reflect that what's going on in the state. And so as we, if there's a lot of economic activity, that probably means we need to be keeping up with the infrastructure of the state. And that's where I've supported the tax cuts in the past. I've voted twice in the last 5 years or 6 years to supporting a tax cut, but I did not support the tax cut this year. This is the fifth tax cut since 2017. And so we're starting to reduce state revenue to a level where I think we're essentially deficit spending, and that we're wearing out what the state has put in place in previous decades. We're wearing that out and now not taking care of it. So running the car out without putting any money in the account to be able to buy a new car when it comes time. So that tax bill had a couple other components that I really didn't agree with. One of those being a capital gains tax exemption that really only benefited one person who has a company here, somebody from South Carolina. I think that was about $1 million giveaway to one company that deals in bullion here in the state of Idaho.
So, and that was part of the bill that was approved.
Part of the bill. So mm-hmm. We reduced the taxes, and we had a big tax capital gains tax exemption for that essentially benefited one person. So I voted against that. We're talking to people, it's property taxes, what we need to deal with. Now, we did have a bill this session that helps with property tax, but it uses income tax and sales tax to pay for that benefit. And so that's a little bit of a shell game. If you're in Idaho, if you're working in Idaho, you're buying things in Idaho, and you own a home in Idaho, then you're paying income tax and sales tax, and then that money's going over and taking the burden off your property tax, but you paid the income tax and the sales tax in the first place. If you're not working and you're not spending as much money, then but you do own a home, then that's good for you, but that's a redistribution. Or if, the other case is if you're working and buying things, but you don't own a home, then you're helping someone else's homeowner's exemption. Or home property taxes. So I'm not totally thrilled with that system that we have in place right now, but we did put in place about $100 million worth of property tax relief this year.
That was House Bill 304.
House Bill 304.
That burden then,
yes.
Basically. Mm-hmm. There was another bill, House Bill 231, that increased the grocery tax credit, which helps offset sales taxes that Idahoans pay for food. They increased it to $155 per year as a tax credit. But that's estimated to reduce state revenue by about $50 million. Where did you fall on that one?
I did support that. We've been for quite some time trying to get the grocery sales tax credit up to the appropriate level, and with inflation it's hard to keep up. But about 5 years ago we raised that from $100 to $120 annually, and now we're at $155. With a grocery sales tax credit of $155, that means that a family of four can buy $10,300 worth of groceries with no tax on them. So I think we're getting in the ballpark of what people are spending on groceries. And of course, when you just because you buy something at the grocery store doesn't mean it's food. It's a grocery sales tax credit, so that doesn't apply toward whatever else you might buy at the grocery
detergent
store.
Detergent,
shampoo, yeah. Cleaning supplies, mm-hmm. Whatever that is. And so, yep, happy that we're getting that grocery sales tax credit up to the right level. There's always a lot of contention about having a grocery sales tax credit. Oftentimes, what we saw this year is it's an out-of-state interest that's just driving a political point to make hay in campaigns. So the Young Americans for Liberty from Texas injected themselves into Idaho this year. They're a libertarian group, and they were driving that we should get rid of grocery taxes. And that is really about politics more than it is about when we have a grocery sales tax credit that we get back, they're effectively the same, just the timing. But the real reason to continue to have a grocery tax at the cash register is so that all the people who come into town, tourists, still help contribute then by paying the grocery taxes when they're here. Then they help to pitch in for what they're wearing out.
So the grocery tax adds to our state revenue. Residents get it back via this credit. Is there any estimate as to how much of the grocery tax comes from out-of-state people who...
It's really hard. I've heard estimates. Utah tracks it, and so we can look at our system and kind of get a guesstimate, but we don't track it. But it's in the tens of millions of dollars, whether it's somewhere more than 20, but under 200 million. Mm-hmm. But that's a pretty big range.
Yeah.
But
that's
tens
money,
of
that's money
of
we would miss if there was no grocery tax.
It's money that we would be paying.
Yeah. That residents would end up making up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was another new law, House Bill 93, provides a refundable tax credit for education expenses for families. And that's going to reduce state revenue by about $50 million, or at least shift it, I guess.
When it's getting pulled out before the general fund, because the sales tax comes into the state and the sales tax goes into the general fund pot. But we do pull money off the sales tax collections prior to the general fund, and so that it reduces the general fund revenues. Yes, and that's a tax rebate. Lots to be said about that one. I think first and foremost, I would say, I think there will be some good that comes about for some Idaho kids. But I know, too, we have a constitutional obligation to our public schools, and that's why I voted no on this House Bill 93, one reason. The other part of it, I said it's a tax credit, but it's capped at $50 million. I don't know, I looked, and I don't know of any other tax credit that if you are eligible for it, you may not receive it, because you can file your taxes and have valid expenses for education, tuition expenses, and not get the tax credit if the $50 million, if somebody else beat you to the pot. And so I expect that it will get either next year that cap will get raised, or there will be a lawsuit and it will get opened up. Mm-hmm. And so then we'll see what that amount really becomes. There are estimates on how many private school or homeschool kids we have, private or home. We'll see how that plays out. But the other piece, there are some funny attributes to the bill. One, if you get in the system, then you have the next year, you have first dibs on the next pot. It's not first come, first serve each year. You get locked in, and even your sibling then can benefit from you being in the program.
Hmm.
I wasn't happy with it.
Okay. I'll mention that as reported by the Capital Sun, that the four tax cut bills end up reducing the state revenue by a combined estimated $453 million. And as you pointed out, how is that going to affect services provided by the government? And we are growing at the same time. Adding thousands of people every year to Idaho, which creates more demand for government services.
And not only did it, not only does it affect the level of service, but it forced us into some decisions this year that we do not normally take. So we didn't put money into the budget stabilization fund, our rainy day fund. We were supposed to put in about $59 million into the budget stabilization fund and did not. We didn't put money into the public education stabilization fund, about $50 million. And then our wildfire funds this year, instead of paying the $60 million bill from last summer's wildfire season, we paid 40 of it, and we used money out of the took the balance down to finish paying that. And we didn't put as much money into local transportation as we and state highway transportation as we did last year. That was down about $36 million. So we did to make the budget balance, but when we cut all that revenue, then we had to take some cuts elsewhere to match it.
Well, with a few minutes we have left here, I'd like to know what legislation you think came out of the session this year that's of particular interest to locals.
Well, I think there were some smaller pieces that really don't ever get reported on. Some licensing, removal of licensing requirements in a couple different occupations. There was a state requirement if you were a photographer, glamour photography, that you had to have a license, and you don't have to anymore. There's another tax piece that will be important to folks, I think, a small seller's tax exemption. So if you are selling less than $5,000 annually, you do not need to collect sales tax or remit sales tax to the state.
That probably make a difference to a lot of locals that have small side gigs.
That's right. And so that's new. We got a new district judge in the Coeur d'Alene, which is Judicial District 1, Boundary, Bonner, Shoshone, Kootenai. So we got a new district judge, which is helpful for caseloads and getting through the court system in a timely manner. There was a piece of legislation in regards to the outfitters and guides, which matters to a lot of people around here. There are just a lot of little pieces that, and we also did a lot of little pieces that day to day help out, I think. You know, too, that we Representative Sauter and I ran a concurrent resolution, a joint memorial in regards to Albany Falls Dam and Lake Ponderay. We're trying to keep the water levels higher for a longer period of time during the year. And of course, we want to get those gates fixed sooner rather than later.
Right, right. Yeah, we had that gate failure there at the Albany Falls Dam that affected operations last year and
still this year.
This year, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, until it gets fixed. So. Well, we are about out of time. I did want to ask about one bill. There was a bill passed by the House that would have ended the ability of private organizations leasing public spaces from banning firearms, which would have affected directly the festival at Sandpoint, which holds its event at Memorial Field. What happened with that bill? It did not progress.
No, it didn't make it through the process. So this is the history here. Everybody knows Scott Herndon went to the festival and tried to take a weapon in when he knew that was not allowed. And then he challenged the city in court, lost in district court, then lost at the Idaho Supreme Court. And then took his efforts to the legislative branch instead of the judicial branch. When he was in the Senate, he ran a bill, made a compromise, and it carved out this situation. So he did that last year, and then he came back this year through a representative out of District 2 and tried to get rid of that exemption, and just not recognizing that is not the will of the people, neither the Supreme Court or the people of Bonner County. Property rights versus gun rights, and there's got to be a balance between the two. And I think their overwhelming decision is that we'd like to have the festival.
Mm-hmm. And that would affect, of course, other venues around the state as well.
It does.
Well, Jim Woodward, any last words here? We only have about 60 seconds that you would wrap up the session with.
There's a new specialty plate available. You can get a potato plate again.
Oh, yeah.
The famous potatoes. Yeah. And we also have the USS Idaho license plate, the submarine.
Oh, that
new USS Idaho
submarine.
It's
just launched, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so both those plates will be available now. And it was fun to talk with folks about how much of a connection Idaho has with the Navy when we ran that license mm-hmm. plate bill.
Mm-hmm. And I understand you do have kind of a session wrap-up town hall coming.
Yes, yeah. May 3rd. We'll be here in Sandpoint at the community center.
At the community hall, yeah.
Community mm-hmm. hall. And we'll just be a nice, little more relaxed environment in the evening to... But
people can come and ask questions. And I will say we're planning to broadcast it here in KRFY.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim.
Thank you.